So before we read text 49, I'll read text 48 as well. Je jahataha dhane kare prema phala phalasvade matta loka hayala shaka. The fruit of love of God is so delicious that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. Purport. Here the wonderful fruit of love of God distributed by Lord Chaitanya is described. We have practical experience that anyone who accepts this fruit and sincerely tastes it immediately becomes mad after it and gives up all his bad habits, being intoxicated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gifts, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The statements of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are so practical that anyone can test them. As far as we are concerned, we are most confident of the success of the distribution of the great fruit of love of Godhead through the medium of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Mada madak prema vale pitta barikaya. Maha madak prema vale pitta barikaya. That A for madak, you don't pronounce it. It's one of those A's. Maha madak prema phala pitta barikaya. Matila shakaloka hase nachagaya. Maha madak, great intoxicant. Prema phala, this fruit of love of God. Pet, belly. Body, filling. Kaya, let them eat. Matila, became mad. Shakalaloka, all the people in general. Hashe, laugh. Nache, dance. Gaya, chant. Translation. The fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically he chants, dances, laughs, and enjoys. Text 50. Keha gada gadi jaja keha tahunkar dekha anandita haya hashe malakar. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor and some of them are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. Purport. This attitude of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very important for persons engaged in the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. In every center of our institution, ISKCON, we have arranged for a love feast every Sunday. And when we actually see people come to our center, chant, dance, take prasadam, become jubilant and purchase books, we know that certainly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also present in such transcendental activities, and he's very pleased and satisfied. Therefore, the members of ISKCON must increase this movement more and more according to the principles that we're presently trying to execute. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thus being pleased, will smilingly glance upon them, bestowing his favor, and the movement will be successful. So, it is said that the fruit of love of God is intoxicating. And immediately one becomes captured, and very quickly one develops attachment to devotional activity. And although material attachment may remain, still that spiritual attachment doesn't go away. It stays. So we find that in the earlier stages of our spiritual life, we find that we are caught between bhog and tyag, or caught between giving up material life and wanting only spiritual life, and then again drawn to sense gratification. So this alternating stage of going between bhog and tyag is a stage where sometimes we get a little desperate. But will I ever get fixed in devotional service? But there is no concern. Simply by continuing devotional service, it will undoubtedly take over. There's no question. It's not like will it or will it not. It will. That is the nature of devotional service. Of course, when we commit offenses and in chanting of the holy name, then we are delaying the result of the chanting. It will still work, but we're delaying. When we are maintaining material attachments, that is described as the wedding party that went on a boat in the river, and the boatman rowed all night, but the boat didn't move. In the morning, they were still in the same place. So I thought, hey, what happened? You didn't do anything. You have been sleeping. No. I've been rowing the whole night. Then the anchor, he didn't lift the anchor. So if the anchor is still there, you can row as much as you like. So having material attachment is not the anchor. It is investing in material attachments. Tenth offense in the matter of chanting the holy name, to maintain material attachment, maintaining them. I like to give the example of a pet. Sometimes you see people, they have a dog and it's like short legs and a huge fat body. And they've been feeding this dog too much, and it's just this big fat thing walking on a few little legs, right? That is when we maintain our material desires by investing in them. Then they become big and fat. So what to do? But these things are secondary. Spiritual life is not a struggle. We are turning it into a struggle and tell ourselves it is a great struggle. We tell ourselves, oh, it's not easy. Oh, it is difficult. Oh, well, I'm trying. No, trying is not good enough. It's like when you ask someone, can you chant? I'll try. That means I will not do it. If someone says, I'll try, it's a good chance they will not do it. So trying means crying. We have to do it. Simply do it. The old saying, just do it. Yes. So in this way, chant somehow or other. Somehow or other, do devotional service. And you say, yes, I'm doing it, but I still am not happy. We are covered by ignorance. And therefore we cannot understand the nature of that devotional service. We cannot understand that devotional service is so powerful that it can just, it just basically is the spiritual world that has entered into our life. Golokira Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. It is the wealth of the spiritual world. When Srila Prabhupada began writing Srimad Bhagavatam, then in the he wasn't sure if he would be able to finish it, because He started it at an advanced age, and he had no money. So he published it, the first canto, in parts, in three parts. And he first did part one. And as he did that, he put everything in there, because he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to do more than that. And then he got so much into the book that he also got into the cover. And he made, it was a one of these folding papers, you know, that go around the book. And on that, he made a drawing. He made that drawing of the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan, all the Vaikuntha planets, and then within it, in a small corner, also the material world was there, and there we see then the universes, and we see Lord Brahma in the universe, sitting on the lotus, and so on. So all these things are there in that drawing. And Prabhupada explains, he said that there is a small corner of the spiritual world which is covered as if by a cloud of illusion. And then one can no longer see the sun. Krishna Surya Sam. Krishna is the sun. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. Then one can, Maya brings darkness. So then one can no longer see the sun. Like today, it's a little clouded. You cannot see the sun. But the sun is still there. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, right there in that first canto of part one of Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually we are still in the spiritual world. There's no question of how will I ever go back to Godhead. The answer is, we're already there. We're just suffering from amnesia. And because we're suffering from amnesia, we can't see, and then we say, oh, I have a hard time, I'm struggling, and it's a difficult situation. But all these things are totally irrelevant. These situations are irrelevant. Prabhupada speaks about anarthas. Anarthas are unwanted things that bring no material benefit. And then he says, the whole planet is an anartha. That's it. Delete. Just delete the whole planet. Like, okay, let's just for a moment mentally delete it. The earth is no longer there. My nice seat is no longer there. You're no longer sitting on the ground. You have no more glasses. Yeah, you know. You don't have to brush your teeth anymore. And, all these things are just part of an artificial identification. We have nothing to do with it. Just before the lecture, had a discussion about teeth. And since I'm a Swami and there's all these devotee dentists, they want to do some service. So one time I opened my mouth and one dentist looked inside and said, wow, that's a work of art. What to do? I don't know. But then in the spiritual world, what do we have to do with all of that? What relationship do we have with the body, with the earth, with all these things? Nothing, actually. It's all in the mind. It's just in the mind. When the soul becomes embodied, the soul goes into a dormant state. The soul is asleep. And then it's the mind that becomes active. And the mind is doing this whole experience here. It is the mind that is just just doing all these things here, trying, accepting, rejecting, enjoying, or suffering. It's all just a mental experience due to the fact that we enter into a relationship with matter. And the mind is convinced that this relationship is real. And it's not. Difficult to realize because it's so strong. It is so strong that we're all caught up in these things. But as soon as we're getting involved with this movement, this devotional service, it begins to wake us up. Of course, it's like, in the late 70s, I was part of a big Sankirtan team, and we used to sometimes mostly would sleep in vans, but in the freezing winter, it was extremely cold, many got sick, so they allowed us to stay in a motel room, right? And the idea was that two devotees would check into one room, because that was all that was allowed, into one room. And they would take the last room of the motel, so it's like sort of on the edge. And then after dark, we'd all sneak in, right? All 20 of us. And then what we did, we took the beds and we just put the beds straight up against the wall, and like so that there was space so that we could all sleep on the floor. And it was all going quite well. Then we had, it was very organized. We had a wooden board, and on top of there, that was the kitchen. We had the gas stove and everything so that we wouldn't burn holes in the carpet. And then we cooked there, right? And then we're all standing and chanting, otherwise we would fall asleep because we're very tired. So everyone, two steps, one step forward, one step back. Full dhoti, tilak, everything. Quite loud and serious chanting. And then, so in the motel, I don't know if it was because of the noise or if it was because of the chants, you know. But whatever it was, either they smelled us or they heard the chants. It's like the spices in the hot ghee, you know, gives strong smell. So I don't know if they smelled us or if they heard us, but suddenly some heavy knocking on the door, and the door opens, and there's the lady from the motel, you know. And she looks into the room and she sees all of us and she goes like, "Ah!" Now, that was in the morning. But the night was also exciting. I forgot to tell you about the night, but that's why I'm telling the story. In the night, there was this one devotee. He was an extremely fired up book distributor. He would do so many books. He would do anything. He would stand in the middle of the street like this. And people would just stop and also look. And then he would give them a book. And then they were so confused that they would buy the book. It worked, really. You can try it. It was a good technique. He would also stand on the exit of the highway and hold up a cart and flag down cars. So people said, must be police, you know. So they stop. And then sometimes he would flag down five cars because they're all parking at the side in a line. You know, and just wait. And then do car number one. Okay, you can go. Do car number two. You can go. And like this, he would just do car after car. Then the police would come. And it was in Belgium. They had two kinds of police. They had city police and state police, you know. So if the police came, then if it was the state police would come, stop and say, hey, what's going on here? You know? He said, oh, this is the charity action. You know, police said, charity action. And then he said, yes, your colleagues of the city police, they were just here. And they said, you please be very careful that you stay within the lines because otherwise there may be problems. Then the state police would say, yes, that's right. Stay within the lines. You know? He was so good. He could just talk himself out of anything. And then, and sell a book. And then at night, he was so fired up in his sleep, he would stand up. And one night, he stood up and he tried to sell me a book. And he wouldn't let me sleep. And I had to buy the book. And had to pay for it as well. It's the only way he would leave me alone. Purushottam was his name. Yeah. Legendary. So anyway, this sleepwalking is a phenomena, right? I don't know if you ever did it yourself, but there are people who are sleepwalking. And sometimes they go out of the house and everything, and then they do a whole walk and go back to bed. You heard of this? This is a phenomenon. It exists. So our spiritual life is like that. We are currently spiritually sleepwalking. We're still asleep, still in the dormant stage, and we're still dreaming. So we're looking at reality, but the dream is with us. So we're living actually in the dream, and we're totally preoccupied with the dream. So busy, and meanwhile, we are actually walking in reality. This is the situation. We are spiritual sleepwalkers. Yeah. That is actually what it is. So what to do? Simply more. More hearing. More chanting. Simply more service. And it will automatically happen. It is quite amazing. Then, as time goes on, our the benefit of our spiritual activities will build up, and it will automatically happen. Therefore, for a devotee, it's good to get old. It's a good thing, getting old. Yeah, you might think, I'm not sure about that. No, it is good, because as we're getting older, you know, another year of devotional service, another year of spiritual benefit. So by the time you're 80, you have so much spiritual benefit, then automatically you can't think of anything else but Krishna. That is how it is. Therefore, time is in our favor. For the materialist, time takes everything away. But, you know, and in the end, an older person has nothing to look forward to. And in youth, one looks forward, and in old age, one looks backward. Yeah? Just looking back. And then just telling the stories of everything that happened, just like me now, telling stories about things, you know. Grandpa is in town, right? And he's talking about, you know, the late 70s, you know, long before your mother was born, and stuff like this. So, yes, dear devotees, long, long time ago. So, in this way, we are basically looking back at the past. But when we engage in devotional service, we have something to look forward to, even when we're very old, because we're looking forward to the spiritual world. Therefore, it's never over, you know. It's all behind me now. It's over. Now I'm old and just waiting to die. The grandchildren come every 6 months. Yes. And then you try and keep them as long as possible. Just as they want to go, you start one other story so that they stay at least another 5 minutes before you go back
into another 6 months of loneliness. And every 3 days in the old people home, there is one that gets taken away. One less. And in this way, you count the days. Old people's home. Yes, but when we are in devotional service, it is different. Because then, yes, then we can still do more service. We still have an opportunity. Let's do something. Even if it's a simple thing. And the simple things, oh yes, are valuable. Yes. Some devotees, they chant the Sikshastakam every day, the 8 prayers of Lord Chaitanya. So if you do so, then even when you're 85 and you can't remember anything anymore, then you can still remember that because you've done it your whole life. Like this devotional service, that which we do regular, that stays with us. That stays with us till the end. I saw one Prabhupada disciple who became ill and who got a brain tumor. And it was, that's of course an unpleasant thing, but it's just one way that you can leave this world. Now what happened to him was this. When people have brain tumors, they lose the short-term memory. So, you know, we said to him, we came to visit him and said, we're going to take you to the temple. Then he goes, okay, I'll get ready. I'll just go to the bathroom. And then when he comes out of the bathroom, he forgot. He forgot where he's going. He can't remember. And then you have to start again. We're going to take you to the temple. Oh, okay, I'll just go to the bathroom. And it's like this. It repeated itself many times. So that was like short-term memory loss. But besides that, you know, he had one thing. He was originally from Navadvip. He was actually born in Navadvip. And he joined Prabhupada in Mayapur, one of the early Bengali devotees. And then Prabhupada sent him to Calcutta with Brahmananda and Gargamuni to preach. His name was Shamla. And then Prabhupada sent him there. And then he said, Prabhupada, when he would be in Calcutta, he liked sweets. So Prabhupada told me to go get some sweets. He said, some shops, he told me, you can buy from that shop. You can buy some sweets. And then, so he tells the story. And then a few minutes later, he said, you know, Prabhupada likes sweets. Tell the Prabhupada story again. And the whole day, he was just telling Prabhupada stories. His Prabhupada stories. And for him, it was fresh every time. Same old story. And he's just totally absorbed in samadhi, basically. In the Prabhupada stories, right? Just totally absorbed. And he forgot everything. But he still remembered who the devotees were. He remembered his Prabhupada stories. And he remembered that he was from Navadvip. When I would come, he said, Oh, in Navadvip, when a sannyasi comes to our house, we are so pleased. And he remembering this, please come to my house. And he brings this whole Navadvip culture. You know, it's like, this is perfect. This is not bad. This is perfect. He forgot all the useless stuff. He forgot everything useless. He forgot it. It's gone. All that was left was he remembered he was from Navadvip. He remembered the sannyasis. And he remembered his Prabhupada stories. You know? It was perfect. What a way to go. In this way, we can see how even a calamity, even a material calamity, actually becomes positive. Yeah. Simply because of a lifetime in service. Simply a lifetime in service. So that is the fruit of love of God. It comes in many ways. It's not just the holy name. It is anything to do with Krishna. It is Krishna directly in the form of his name. It is Krishna in in his tadiya. The tadiya are the paraphernalia connected to Krishna. The Yamuna, the Ganga, Tulsi, or, you know, the Mridanga, or, right? Prabhupada was so happy when he finally got a Mridanga. Right? It's like not just a drum, it's a holy item. Kartals, you don't put them on the floor. That is, Balaram becomes these instruments. Right? That is spiritual. It is all tadiya. These are all spiritual paraphernalia. One tulsi leaf. I don't know if you sometimes get the Charanamrita and the tulsi leaf and it gets stuck in your throat. Have you had that experience? And some say you're not even allowed to chew the tulsi leaf. Those who are very strict, you have to swallow it whole. I can't do it. I don't know about you, but with me, if I try that, it's there. So I chew it and just beg forgiveness what to do. But even then, still, something gets stuck in the throat. And so sometimes you think, oh, a tulsi leaf. The mind goes, they want to give you tulsi leaf. Oh, tulsi leaf. Ah, it's going to be tough. But then in the Padma Purana, it is said that all the holy places of the entire universe are in one tulsi leaf. So you just swallow one tulsi leaf, and all you get the benefit from all the holy places of the entire universe. Did you realize that? I mean, after hearing that, you sort of feel, hey, I want a tulsi leaf. If anybody has one, you know, give. Yeah, I want. So like this, the benefit is there, but we don't know. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj once came to me while I was in Vrindavan. I was serving in Vrindavan. He said, you are so fortunate. You are so fortunate. You have no idea how fortunate you are. And then I was sort of, my false ego was a little, you know, well, you know, I mean, we're in the Dham, you know. I know that. But now I must admit Tamal Krishna Maharaj was right. We are so fortunate. We have no idea how fortunate. And that's the point. And that is why we are thinking, oh, so difficult. Oh, and struggling. Oh, my teeth, oh, my front, oh, my back, oh, my top, oh, my bottom, oh, my everything, oh, my neighbors, oh, the people behind me, oh, the people in front of me, oh, my material desires, oh, and everything is like, you know, in my whole, oh, my life, you know, my wife, my material world, my education, my duties, oh God, my service, you know, oh God, I gotta do this devotional service, I gotta have like a soul, like all this I gotta do, and you get all these wrinkles in your nose, and you get like, you know, and it gets stuck, right? It stays like that. And then slowly it gets worse over the years. And you can no longer speak like a normal person. Yes. Yeah. How are you? Trying. I'm really trying. And I stay at your life.
Yeah. That is... That is the mind. You need to see how it happens. No?
So, one good thing is at least hearing about the glories of devotional service. Because the more we hear about the glories of devotional service, like today, okay, this tulsi thing now, one tulsi leaf, Padma Purana, all the holy places of the whole universe, must be quite a few. Thinking about it, I mean, there are already quite a bit on this planet, but then, you know, I mean, Vamana, he sort of covered the whole universe, and, you know, must be lots of holy places everywhere. The Alakananda, You heard of the Alakananda? The heavenly Ganges? You know the Milky Way. Huh? You know the Milky Way. Do you? Yeah, that's a milkshake store, isn't it? No. The Milky Way. The stars up there. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, in the sky. Yep, I know that. It's in India, in the Vedic culture, it is known as Akash Ganga. Akash Ganga. The Ganga in the sky. Because in scripture, it is described that is the Alakananda. That is the Mandakini, the heavenly Ganges. Yeah, that's interesting. Right? The more you know, the more we know, the bigger our vision, the more we see. And at least we see. All right, I'm still choking in Tulsi. Right? But at least I know that all the holy places of the universe are in there when I'm choking. That's something. That's something. So, I'll have it. If anyone is a Tulsi, offer to the Lord. I'll take it. Yes. So in this way, the more we hear about the glories of devotional service, the more we begin to appreciate, and the more all the material things begin to look petty. You know, petty means small. Small. And that's what Prabhupada said. Spiritual life is like going up in a plane, and as you're going up, everything starts to look small. All the material things start to look small. And spiritual life gradually takes over. One still has a material body, one still has so many things, but it's so insignificant. And the real meaning is in devotional service. So by such discussions, we can develop the enthusiasm to once again give ourselves wholeheartedly to devotional service. And therefore, this lecture, I didn't give for you, I gave it for myself, so that I, again, this morning, can crank up the old machine. It's like an old car. You know, and they used to have these really old timers, and you had to crank to start them up. And that's my spiritual life. That's what I've got. My spiritual life is like an old timer car that has to be started by a crank. And in the morning, I'm like, and then it's like I opened the window this morning and it started. And he coughed. He heard it. He came watching. Who's there? Yes. Then he was chanting out there, and he didn't know that I could see him in the window of the neighbors. And I saw he's walking my way. He's trying to see me again. I was hiding. Finally, he stood there. With both hands, eh? Okay. Yeah. Some exercise. So, I saw a devotee in the morning. When you see a devotee, that's very auspicious. Eh? That's auspicious. So, he was blessing me in this way. I wouldn't have seen it like that, you know, but because I read the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it says that anyone who wears tilak is blessing you. Right? So since he has big tilak, look at his tilak. That's like first class tilak. That's nice, yes. Yeah, good. Mr. Tilak. So Tilak Das has been blessing me this morning. I would have never known it until I read the Chaitanya Bhagavat. But now that I did read the Chaitanya Bhagavat, I see it like that. And now whenever I see devotees with tilak, I'm remembering that. So in this way, Just by hearing, we remember more and more, and then our whole perspective of reality changes. So simple. And whether you can read, or whether you play an audio book on your phone, or a lecture, somehow or other, read, hear, yeah, in some way or other, use the turn it on. If you have a phone, and you have lectures on it, and you cannot get yourself to turn it on, then at least set an automatic alarm. And then the thing automatically goes on. And automatically, suddenly, like Prabhupada starts speaking out of nowhere. Just do that. Right? Set it up with a timer. And fill the whole house, you know, that every 15 minutes, Prabhupada's voice comes through the house. Sit properly. Or some other statement. And in this way, we'll remember those of us who are suffering from amnesia. I met once, I'll end with a story, since you like stories, I hear it by... one time, I was in Vrindavan, and there was this devotee who I knew, and I said, Haribo, and he looks at me like a strange look on his face. So I said, are you okay? You know, it was really kind of a, are you okay? Are you okay? And he looks at me, still strangely. Are you alright? And then he says, who are you? And I'm looking at him, and it looked serious, you know. And I said, oh, you don't know who I am? And he still looks at me. And then I said, but I know who you are. Because I know you are from Holland. Because you speak Dutch. And then I spoke Dutch, and he understood it. And then he was shocked. You know, like that I knew who he was and he didn't. And then the whole thing came out. He had some amnesia. Complete amnesia. Sitting in the guest house lobby in Vrindavan with full amnesia. Yeah? Well, that was interesting. I mean, you hear about it, but when it happens in real life, it's exciting. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, eventually it got better, you know, and I also tried to help him and other people. So, you know, yeah, that happened in Vrindavan. But, you know, when I came to Slovenia, to Ljubljana, it was worse. I came into a room, and the whole room was suffering from amnesia. Do you know who you are? Do you? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? What's your eternal spiritual identity? Do you know? Are you a cowherd boy or a gopi? Or a blade of grass? Are you a tree? The twin trees. In the spiritual world, trees are dancing. That made me think of it. No, who are we? So this amnesia is our problem. There is no problem. We only have one problem. We're suffering from amnesia. So the more we remind ourselves of our true identity, the more we forget. If you have amnesia and it doesn't get better, then you have to take a temporary name. You forgot your name. So, well, just call me, Krishna Das, you know. Yeah? What do? If you forget your name, everything. Then you take some temporary name. And like if it doesn't come back, you take a temporary identity. Yeah? It's exactly what happened. You have a temporary name, temporary identity. All of this because of our amnesia. And that's all. So let us awaken our original spiritual identity by going after these fruits of love of God. Okay, any question, any comment? Hanji. Microfono. Here in the front. Front. Yeah, microphone. Let's come.
Hey, Vishnu.
Hari Rama.
There's a mention of joy of pleasure in the verse. So I was wondering, how should we think about these statements? Because this is not the only statements that Acharyas and Shastras says that pleasure is important. So how should we understand this? Is this distraction for us? Because we are not striving for pleasure directly.
Oh.
Or are we?
We are. No. Me, I definitely am. I mean, maybe you are
a
yogi.
Service.
Maybe you're a yogi and doing and a tapasvi. Maybe you are like doing great austerities and so on, but not me. Forget it. I'm looking for pleasure. Oh yes.
But the point is the definition.
That's the point, yeah. Yeah. It's all about pleasure. Oh yes. Oh. It's fun, yeah. Let's have some fun. Dear devotees, now we are going to have a Bhagavatam class. So we have to be very serious. It is forbidden to laugh. Because now we're reading scripture that is very serious. No, why we can't? We cannot enjoy spiritual. We can. I'm enjoying Bhagavatam. It's fun. Right? Let's have some fun. Spiritual life is fun. Yeah. Why are we doing this? You know, young man, you're still young. Only 55. And, you know, you can still enjoy. Why are you punishing yourself? So no, that's what people think. You know, they you see someone in the street, they go like, get married, you know. Well, some people say, well, I already am. Okay, go get a job, you know. They think, be normal, you know, be normal, enjoy. No? That's what people say. I went to America, they interview me like, you know, look at my passport at every stamp. What is this? Where have you been? And I'm finally, that's okay. And then he says, he turns to, I can go now, and he goes, enjoy. I can enjoy America. Wow. You know, yeah, it's like, always enjoy. That's what life is all about, isn't it? It's not that there's anything wrong with enjoying. The question is, what are you trying to enjoy? If you're trying to feast on the flesh of other living beings, that's no enjoyment at all. That is hell. If you are trying, if you're looking with lusty eyes upon another person and only see the body and not care about the soul and just care about your lusty sexual desires and use this person's body to fulfill it, then you are in hell and you create hell. Then you're not enjoying. But oh, once you take up, you taste the fruit of love of God, hey, enjoying. That's what it's all about. That's our movement. Si, senor.
Maharaj, I have some question because we kind of start like so much enjoying about the movement, prasad, kirtans, and
prasad, kirtans.
It's so happy, no?
So but happy.
In one moment, I don't know. I want to ask about this because I feel like I'm talking with my twin, three. In one moment, we feel something like mad. Like you start feeling like, what is the purpose of all of this? No, you are not enjoying so much because you are feeling, I'm in a jail. No, I cannot go out of this. It's horrible prison. It looks beautiful, but it's so horrible. Really, it's horrible. And you start saying, where is God real? Where is God? He yesterday we are dancing in front of Panchatattva, and they so serious, no, like only like this, and okay, why you don't move? Oh, where are you real? Where are you? This is like a big jail. Is you cannot feel happy.
Ay. Ay. Es un cosa muy serio. That's getting serious. Doubt. Yes, doubt is also there. Doubt is also there. We are still in between. We are still sleeping, sleepwalking, sleep dancing. Right? You are not sleepwalking, you are sleep dancing. And so because of that, we still sometimes go in a material state of mind, and then we start to doubt all these things. But you cannot do it just year in, year out, just on the strength of some idea. Right? It has to get real. In the beginning, you can do anything artificial, just on an idea. But, you know, why? Why do we accept the deities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We did not see them jumping off the altar. You didn't. But then we see that people that serve the deity, they become saintly personalities. Like in Mayapur, we have Jnanivas. Right? And Jnanivas is clearly a saint. You can see it. Right? Not difficult to see. You have seen. How he became that by worshipping the deities. So it works. Worshipping the deities actually works. So like that, we can see people change. You know, I mean, once upon a time, I lived in Amsterdam, and I had a different lifestyle than I had in the Holy Dam later on. In Vrindavan Dam, right? From Amsterdam to Vrindavan Dam, it was a change in my life. How is it possible to maintain it? How can I maintain it? It works. So if it works, if people actually change by this process, then it must be true. At least that we can see. Therefore, if the pujari can become a saintly person by worshipping the deity, then the deity must be more than a statue. Then whatever we offer to the deity must be really prasadam. And then prasadam is transcendental. And then, and so on. And ultimately, if you have doubt, turn to Prabhupada. He's the living example of Krishna consciousness. He showed that it was true. By his incredible happiness. They took a picture of Prabhupada at a camera, and then they were flashing all the time. So Prabhupada said, no more balls, all these light balls, too much. Stop it now. So then he changed, there was no digital camera yet, he put in a film, a slow film. And a slow film was very light sensitive. Right? And also very sensitive to movement. So he put a little cord on the camera, click from a distance, and he had a light meter to make sure that he had to manually adjust the lenses and everything for the light. So he has a light meter, German light meter, and he's measuring, and suddenly it shows that the light meter goes right up into the maximum. So he's looking, did someone turn on the light? No. It was Prabhupada. He was beaming. And it was measured on a German light meter. That's science. It's proof. It's fact. That's proof that Prabhupada was really happy. And that's proof that Krishna consciousness is true. So the ultimate if we start questioning our faith, then the shortcut of our faith is Prabhupada. Then our faith must be like a tree with many roots. We need many roots. We have faith in the deities. Why? Because we see that those who are worshipping the deities are changing and are becoming saintly personalities. If you would worship a Barbie doll, that wouldn't happen. You can try. See what happens. And he's chanted also, Barbie, Barbie, Bar, Bar. Bar, Bar, Barbie. You can try the mantra and see what happens. It won't happen. We are not just playing with dolls. Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a root of our faith. But then we have Shastra, right? Okay, well, Shastra is something that has been tested. It is said many sages, Devala, Asita, so many have lived by these scriptures and attained perfection. So we can see that. It comes in a tradition, in a disciplic succession, so we trust in scripture. Now, and through that scripture we get more faith. Like the first time I came in the temple, it happened to be in Vrindavan. It was 6:45 at night, and the devotees just started Tulsi Puja. I come in the temple, and they all start to bow down to a plant. And I go, here we go. Right? But now that I've read that in that one Tulsi leaf, all the holy places are there of the whole universe, now I also bow down to Tulsi. So Shastra helps for our faith to develop. Pure devotees help like that. So we need many roots of faith. Why do we believe in all of this? I gotta stop now. It's getting very late. Too much late. Sure, stopping. But you get the point. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.